Look at verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. As the Apostle Paul reveals some of the spiritual gifts used in the church, he identifies a glorious goal that every Christian should strive for in life. Paul describes this goal as the coming to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Accordingly, as we grow in our faith and knowledge of Jesus, we will become a perfect man or a mature person. And we will reach a level of development that characterizes our lives as the fullness of Christ. The goal of every Christian should be to increase in our faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ to the point we are the reflection of his character, a display of the fullness of Christ. Paul then gives a very important reason for this goal, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You see, if we don't have this goal of spiritual maturity, we are susceptible to false doctrines, to the schemes of men, and the deceitfulness of evil. It's imperative that we seek and pursue a growth in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's imperative that we draw closer to our Savior and do those things that will help us increase in our knowledge of the Lord. Because if we stay babes, if we stay infants in our relationship with the Lord, we are susceptible to these diseases of evil, to the false doctrines of our world, to the traps of wicked men, to the deceitfulness of evil and the wiles of Satan. So we must do what we can to grow in our relationship with the Lord so that we can be strong and not be tossed to and fro by these things. So, our relationship with Christ, staying in a childhood state in our relationship with Christ for too long is dangerous and has the potential to bring serious consequences for us. This is why the writer of Hebrews takes a break from talking about the priesthood of Jesus to address the lack of spiritual maturity in his audience. So let's go back, let's go to Hebrews chapter 5 and look at this. As the writer of Hebrews gives the audience this delightful spiritual meat about the priesthood of Christ, he realizes that they may not be able to consume it because their spiritual bodies are not ready to process the nutrients. But he also realizes that if they don't start consuming this spiritual meat, they will succumb to the spiritual dangers laid out in Ephesians 4:14. This is why we see this admonition in these last verses of chapter 5 of Hebrews, and a serious warning given in the first few verses of Hebrews chapter 6. It is important for us to grow as Christians in our knowledge and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can avoid some seriously dangerous circumstances and avoid being hurt in this, in our spiritual walk. So, the good news in all of this is that it is clear that it is possible for us to grow in our faith to the point we are a reflection of the character of Christ and fortified against the bombardment of false doctrine, wicked men, and the deceitfulness of evil. That's the good news in this. God's promised plan for you is that you're able to grow and be strengthened in the Lord to the point where you are fortified against these things, where you are not tossed to and fro by every whim of doctrine, why, that you are not deceived by evil and tricked into doing stuff that will hurt you in your life, that you are not deceived by the craftiness of men and taken advantage of. So all these things are what God wants for you. And you can attain that. You can experience the fullness of Christ. And this passage here in Hebrews tells us just how to do that. So let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 5 in verses 11 through 14 and see, excuse me, and see how we can come to the fullness of Christ. Let's look at verse 11. It says, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." Now, the first observation I want you to see is this. If we are going to come to the fullness of Christ, we must avoid spiritual apathy. We must avoid spiritual apathy. The writer of Hebrews needed to teach these Christians about the marvelous facts of the priesthood of Jesus. Jesus as high priest. But there was a problem. The people were dull of hearing. Now the word dull is translated sluggish in chapter 6, verse 12 of Hebrews. This suggests that it was not a matter of mental capability that hindered these people from growing in the knowledge of Christ, but a character flaw. They had a character flaw, and that flaw was apathy. They had become lazy and apathetic about their relationship with Christ. They no longer desired to have this close relationship with Christ, to understand more about Him, to consume the deep truths that Christ had for them. Stanley Outlaw points out that they were not just stagnant in their spiritual growth. They had actually gone backward from where they once had been. And that's what happens, folks, when we get apathetic about our walk with Christ. We don't just stay where we are in our spirituality when we get apathetic. We go backwards. We go backwards. We become carnal. We give in to the deceitfulness of evil. So we've got to grow. We've got to have this desire, and that desire comes when we put away apathy when it comes to the things of the Lord, when it comes to understanding who He is. A businessman moved over slightly as a young man crowded into the airplane seated next to him. As they both fastened their seatbelts, the businessman good-naturedly asked whether the young man was traveling on business or pleasure. "Pleasure," the young man replied. "I'm on my honeymoon." "Your honeymoon?" the businessman asked, mystified. "Where's your wife?" "Oh, she's a few rows back. The plane was full, so we couldn't get seats together." The plane hadn't started rolling yet, so the businessman said, "I'd be happy to change seats with her so the two of you can be together." "Oh, that's okay," the young man replied. "I've been talking to her all week." You see, in relationships, apathy can be a big problem. It can be a big problem. And in our relationship with the Lord, apathy can be a big problem. We ought to take every advantage we can to be with the Lord, to talk with the Lord, to be nourished by the Lord and His Word. We shouldn't think, "Well, I went to church this week. I'm good. I heard a half hour or maybe 40 minutes, depends on how long-winded I am. I heard the sermon this week, so I'm good. That's good enough." Well, it's not good enough, folks. It's not. Can I say, as much as I like my preaching, that if all you get, if all you get is what I tell you from the Lord, you're not going to grow spiritually like the Lord wants you to. You're just not going to. You need to be feeding yourself. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in the second point. But I want you to understand, it is amazing how we can become apathetic about our relationship with Christ so quickly. This is true when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. If we don't resist apathy, we can go backwards in our relationship with Christ. However, if we will determine that we are going to grow in our knowledge of the Lord, we will gain peace and joy and wisdom. All those things that God has for us. All those things that He's promised to us. All those things that He had planned for us to have. Okay? So, let's avoid apathy in our spiritual walk. Secondly, and this is found in verses 12 and 13, if we are going to come to the fullness of Christ, we must have good eating habits. If we are going to come to the fullness of Christ, we must have good eating habits. Now, just like with your body, if you live on Twinkies and honey buns every day and some milk, you're going to be probably this big, you know, you're not going to be healthy, okay? I love Twinkies, I love honey buns, and I like milk. But if that's all I ever eat, I'm going to look pretty bad, and I'm going to feel bad too. Now, our spiritual bodies require that we eat certain things and that we have those nutrients that God wants us to have. Now, I want you to notice the phrase in verse 12. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers." Now, the phrase "by this time" indicates that the time had come and gone for these believers to be more advanced in their spiritual walk. Christ expects that we are going to grow in our relationship with Him. They should have been able to at least teach others about the basic truths of Christianity. You see, this is not talking about being a pastor or a teacher in an elevated role in instructing the church, but someone described like in 2 Timothy 2:2. And for time purposes, I won't turn there. But what it says is, Paul gives Timothy instruction to teach faithful people about Christianity so that they can teach others. That's what we're all supposed to be involved in. Learning about the Lord Jesus Christ so that we're capable, when someone asks about Jesus, to tell them the truth about Jesus, to tell them the gospel, to tell them how they can have this relationship with the Lord. That's why what we're doing on Wednesday night is so important. That's exactly what we're learning to do on Wednesday night, isn't it? We're going through the basic truths of Christianity in a way that helps us teach those to others. So we're learning to teach those basic truths of Christianity to others so we can be involved in the discipleship process and do what God called us to do. He called us to be disciples of men. He called us to that, and he called every Christian, including you, to that task. So every Christian should strive to get to the point where they can teach others the basics of Christianity and the gospel. This is very important. Now, this is why we are doing what we're doing on Wednesday nights. This kind of discipleship can only happen if the gospel truths motivate us to increase our knowledge in Jesus Christ. You see, these people had lost their motivation. They had lost their motivation, so they had to be reminded about the basics of Christianity. In this verse, in verse 12, it calls it the first principles of the oracles of God. So they had to learn the basic truths again. They had to be motivated by the gospel once again. They had to be reminded that it was because of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross for their sins that they ought to be learning about him more, that they ought to be striving to do his will, that they ought to be grasping the greater truths about him. They had lost that desire because they had forgotten or allowed their hearts not to be impacted by those basic truths of the gospel. And it was affecting their hearing, their spiritual hearing. They were not able to grasp the deeper truths about the Lord because they still needed milk, the milk of the Word. Now, a milk-only diet should only be for a short time, until we are ready to eat meat. This doesn't mean we stop drinking milk. It just means we will eat meat as well. Now, this morning, we celebrated communion. When we celebrate communion, we are drinking the milk of the Word. These are basic truths about Jesus, that he died on the cross, that he shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, that he sacrificed his life for us. That's the milk of the Word. But God has far more for us than that. Now, we eat the milk of the Word on a regular, we drink the milk of the Word on a regular basis. And that should motivate us to eat those deeper truths, to grasp those deeper truths that God has for us, like his priesthood for us. So we should also get to the point where we are able to feed ourselves. I want you to notice something. It says, I'm having to feed you. I'm having to feed you milk because you're not able to eat the meat. You see, there's something that happens when we develop. We get to the point where we're able to feed ourselves. You know, an infant baby, it has to be fed by its mother. It can't feed itself. It has to be fed by its mother. But eventually, when they can sit in the high chair, right, they're able to feed themselves. They get that spoon in their hands and they start able to shovel it in themselves, right? And they start being able to eat some other things besides milk. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to develop in our eating habits. We're supposed to go from someone that has to be fed the Word to someone who can eat the Word and the strong meat of the Word. So there's a difference. And we need to get to that point where we're actually consuming the Word on our own. Where on a daily basis we look at God's Word and we meditate on it and we learn from it. Maybe we get stumped, so we call up the pastor and ask him what something means. Maybe we go to a commentary and see what it means. But we're seeking to consume those deeper truths of the Word. We're growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When that is happening, then we are developing because we have the right eating habits. If we don't get to this point, it will affect our character. Look at 1 Corinthians. It's in your bulletin if you want to turn there, but you can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to see something here. This is the Apostle Paul addressing the church at Corinth, and this is what he says. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For that where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" So, here's what's happening. The lack of progress in the Corinthian spiritual growth had made them susceptible to carnality, resulting in strife and contention among them. They were acting like a bunch of big babies. That's what it says. You ever said that to your kids when they're arguing? Stop being big babies. That's exactly what Paul is saying here. You're acting like a bunch of big babies. That's why the title of the sermon this morning is "Stop Being a Big Baby." Because we don't want to be big babies. Because we are susceptible to carnality when that happens. If our spiritual bodies don't get the nutrients of the meat of God's Word, it will be susceptible to the disease of carnality. That's what we see here in this passage. That's what happens when someone allows strife and contention to be demonstrated over and over again in their lives. It is a sign that they are spiritually deficient, that they are not growing the way they ought to, that they are not eating the proper things they need in order to not be susceptible to carnality. And that's what we want to avoid. And that's what we will avoid if we eat the meat of the Word. Because the meat of the Word gives us all the nutrients we need to do away with carnality in our lives. And this leads to my final point, found in verse 14. "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." My final point is this. If we are going to come to the fullness of Christ, we must have a disciplined regimen of spiritual activity. We must have a disciplined regimen of spiritual activity. We are told in this verse that mature Christians have something in common with each other. They have reason to exercise their spiritual senses. The word for exercise in the Greek is the root word for our English word gymnasium. Gymnasium. Mature believers determined to go work out. You know, like some people, they have this regimen, workout regimen, and they'll go to a gym, you know, and they'll go to that gym on a daily basis, and they'll work out. They're exercising their bodies, their physical bodies. Well, we're to do the same thing with our spiritual bodies. We are to determine that we're going to go to the gymnasium of God's Word, that prayer time, that meditation time with God, and exercise our spiritual senses. Exercise them. Exercise our spiritual senses. Mature believers determined to work out in the spiritual gymnasium by habitually taking opportunities to exercise their spiritual senses and feed on the meat of the Word. Mature Christians take advantage of every opportunity to grow by participating in church activities designed to exercise their spiritual senses. We should be taking advantage of every opportunity. They set aside time in their day to meditate on God's Word. They seek help so they can understand the deeper truths of the Bible. When this happens in our lives, we become so spiritually strong that we are able to have great spiritual discernment and apply the wisdom of God to our lives. That's what it tells us in the last half of this, doesn't it? To discern both good and evil. We're able to have such great discernment in our lives that we're exercising wisdom that keeps us from the wiles of the devil, that keeps us doing what is right, that helps us discern what truth is and what is not. That is what we have in the Lord. This is what we have. So, when we have this spiritual exercise going on in our lives, it has great impact on us. It gives us, God has more, and that's what I want you to understand. God has more for you than just the basic truths of the gospel. He wants to impart great nutrients of truth to you so you can have a fuller insight in your life and be able to avoid the danger of being imposed on by false doctrine, pretensions of hypocrites, or by being deceived by the subtleties of Satan. Clark said that. These blessings can be yours if you determine to be disciplined in your regimen of spiritual activity. And that's what God wants for you. So, let's determine that we are going to come to the fullness of Christ by avoiding spiritual apathy, by having good eating habits through a disciplined regimen of feeding on God's Word.